Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night women's and for all who come, men and women alike, Bible study. Tonight, we have Anne and Karen with us right from the get-go. Good evening, ladies.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good to be here.
And we have Miss Megan. Hello, Miss Megan.
Hello.
Hi. So welcome to everybody. Tonight we're going to look at the subject of fear, and this is there's two separate fears. Next week we'll look at the other one. This we're going to look at just fears that we have, fear of people, personal fears, fear of rejection, whatever. Next week we will look at a right fear, and that is, or the only right fear, fear of God. So I wanted to make that distinction up front. There is a right fear, and that's not what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at fear in a general sense. And I hope and pray that we'll be not only exhorted to overcome our fear, but see better the battle so that we can. So with that as our start, Karen, are you going to be our reader tonight?
Certainly.
Would you read Psalm 34, verse 4?
Yes. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
So, Anne, I know this is a particular scripture that the Lord gave you, and I give you the floor to start.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Lord gave me this when I went looking for it, and I don't even remember now how the Lord led me to this scripture, but I now have it posted on my wall to remind myself to seek the Lord. And that's the first part of that. You have to seek the Lord, and we should be doing that every day. And we forget. We get caught up in the cares of the world and our lives, and we forget to seek the Lord. But he said, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And that's one thing. He will hear you. If you are seeking him, he will hear you. And he delivered me from all my fears. And I had thought I had gotten rid of most of those fears, and I had some pretty drastic fears that almost paralyzed me years ago. And the Lord with me gave me that ability to stand against them and defeat those fears. I hadn't realized that over the years, fears had been sneaking into my life until the Lord brought me to this scripture. And when he did, I looked at it and I realized how much I still fear things. And I don't have to have that. If I seek him, I can get rid of all those fears. But you need to be diligent. Once you defeat something in the Lord, once he gives you that ability and takes something away and you defeat it, don't just ignore it from then on, because Satan is sneaky. And it's very sly how fears can come back in and control your life without you even realizing it. So you have to be very diligent and watchful to not fall back into those fears. But know, if you seek him, he will deliver you from them.
You know, one of the things I hope people are aware of is, because you find that you've submitted to a fear or joined yourself to a fear is maybe another way of looking at it, meaning that your flesh or whatever cries out and you believe it, that doesn't mean that you, that isn't a mark against you. It's just, it kind of goes to what James says when he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And we do fall into diverse temptations. And oftentimes that fall is related to a fear that it's not like, see how bad you are or something. It is the way I look at it is it's kind of like the Lord shows us, gives us opportunity to see where we are so that we can press on and really get rid of it and overcome and be, as you were saying, Anne, watchful. But you can't watch for something you don't realize can be there in your life, which is what you were kind of saying when you said that you have to be diligent because Satan is sneaky. Excuse me. You have to be aware that this is an ongoing battle, maybe not a particular thing, but the walk of faith is an ongoing battle to seek the Lord, lift these things up, lift your day up, lift the things you know that you're weak in up, lift your needs up, and putting your trust in Him. And when you do that, then you need not fear lack. There's nothing then to fear because you've given it to Him. And He is faithful, who will take care of you and be with you. He ain't going to reject you. Gosh, if He rejected us because we fell short, there wouldn't be a one of us acceptable to Him. But to take that knowledge and war the good warfare, to believe Him, to trust Him, to be found faithful, is the whole point of that grace and mercy, not just so we can sit back and figure it doesn't matter. We need it, but let us exercise ourselves in Him by it.
Jump in.
Robin, you're talking about warring a good warfare, and I know with fear, it's a spirit, and it's something that is not of God. It's one of the things that are the cares of this world that all come against us, and they're all unbelief. And I know for me, I rebuke it, and you have to put your face into that fear, and you have to go forward despite that fear, because if you don't, you're just going to lay down and not do anything. I mean, you're going to let it overtake you. It's just awful when you do that. You've got to fight. And it is a fight, and it's a hard fight. I won't tell you any different. I know for me it's a hard fight, but it's extremely important to have that fight against that fear, because whatever you fear becomes an idol to you, and it's your God, as Davy has said many times. Whatever you fear becomes your God, and you want the Lord Jesus Christ to be your God and nothing else.
Yeah, another thing too I want to bring up, in the beginning of the scripture it says, I sought the Lord, and I think I touched on it in the beginning. We go about our days, we think, you know, in our heads we're like, okay, I'm saved, I love the Lord, I'm trying to serve Him, but we don't seek Him. We don't look to Him for everything in our lives. And that's something so important. We forget to seek the Lord. And in order for Him to answer, to hear us, then we have to make that something we do all the time. Seek the Lord. You're standing there washing dishes or washing your car or whatever. You know, seek the Lord while you're doing that.
The other thing, and this isn't really, I mean, it's part of fear in the sense that we have to confront things all the time if we're going to grow in Christ and be servants that are of any, serve Him, really, just basically serve Him. We cannot serve Him if we don't recognize that He's given us really everything we need. He's given us His word. And I find sometimes to believe His word over how I feel, sometimes it seems how I feel is the truth. And it's where you really have to apply the word notwithstanding, and you will be I was going to say surprised, but you probably will be surprised at how quickly he takes over and you're delivered. And yet making that choice can be quite the battle to even know that you can make that choice.
Amen. Another thing, Robin, you said he gives us his word, definitely, but he also gives us his spirit.
Yes.
And that gives us the power to war a good warfare.
Yeah. You have to know who you are in Christ. And the very basis of that is by that free gift of salvation that he accomplished on the cross. But in what he did, he then tells us to walk even as he walked. And in that walk, we are faced with fears, multitude of fears, fears of people, fears of rejection. And you saw that in the Gospels where people were afraid to be thrown out of the synagogue. It's kind of interesting because we don't really have, I don't walk around with a fear of being thrown out of the synagogue, but they did. And I know one of the things Jesus told his disciples is, you will be thrown out of the synagogue. And he says, I'm telling you this ahead of time. But they still had to face that and battle through to be able to continue to stand in him because of what he said, notwithstanding their natural man that had just gotten thrown out of a synagogue and the implications the natural man then took from that. Whatever they were, and we're all different. So the way the battle looks is different, but it is the same battle. And to find that you've fallen short isn't one that you should give up because of. It's the very thing that we all find, and we have to continue to press on, knowing that we have to overcome. We have to overcome these things if we are going to be those servants that he can use. It's mandatory. There's no way around it. So we have to confront these fears with the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have help through the body of Christ. We exhort one another unto love and good works. We have our line of authority that is going to shine a light for our sake, so that we can see the battle clearly and choose to believe that word that has come to us, and not what we think, but that word, and align ourselves with it. And it is a battle, and it can take time, but don't give up. And don't make excuses for where you're at. God doesn't throw us away because of where we're at, but he can't live in an excuse. He will dwell in faith, and that faith is what presses on. So we have to exercise ourselves in faith.
Okay, we were amening, forgetting that the mute was on. I think maybe the next scripture we need to go to is 2 Timothy 1:7.
Okay. Karen, would you like to read that?
Sure. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Did you want to talk about it?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, as we know, and it's very clear in that scripture, that fear is a spirit. This is something to get rested in you, that fear is a spirit. It's not the spirit of truth. It's a lying spirit. And you gotta, by choice, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and by your knowledge of the Word of God, put it off. And you replace it with the truth. And you stand and hold on to the truth, not the lie. He says he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. It's not of God. It's that simple. So when it comes on us, we get rid of it because we are of God. So we don't receive that which is not of him. Sounds simple, and we find ourselves having given into it, but that's when we pick up again.
We have to make that decision and turn again into that fear and, you know, rebuke it, send it away, don't accept it. Because once you do, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. But even in that trouble, God is there the moment you seek him. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. That meant you had fears that you joined with, that you had believed and that had a say in your life. So that's the beauty. You know, he's there for us right where we're at, and tomorrow we may be kind of in major need of his mercy and grace, more than maybe we were today. I mean, we can't really judge these things because, I mean, we fall short every day. That's why his mercies are new every day. But it's time, past time, to take seriously the Word of God and apply it in our lives and exercise ourselves by it. God has not given us a spirit of fear. What he has given us is power, which is what you brought up, Anne, love, and a sound mind. But if we don't take those and use them, we're not going to grow in him. I even say, how can we say we are his if we don't begin to choose to believe him and to walk in accordance with that faith, that choice? Proverbs 1:33, Karen.
But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
And the key thing there is hearken. Do you hear what the Lord says and do it? You know, hearkening is an action word. You hear and then you do.
And isn't that similar to take heed?
I think it's something, I would say so, take heed.
Taking heed is also hearing and doing as well, I believe.
This is an area I say with confidence that all of us have to do better at. The February 23rd service in Texas, Davey went over this. And whenever we come to Bible studies or services on Sundays or listen to them later, we need to take what we hear and put it into practice. One of the Texas services, and I think it may have been the first one in March, but you can find it if you want, was on going from self-esteem, which is evil, unfounded, ungrounded, into confidence is a twofold thing, and we've kind of touched on it. One is to pray. You know, seek the Lord and pray that you will hearken, pray that you will do, pray that you do have a heart that receives and goes forward in these. You know, he spoke specific things to pray, but you don't have to stop there. You know what I mean? There are, pray that you, to be strengthened against your fears and then stand up believing him and, do. So there was both prayer, praying those things God will answer, and then standing up and beginning to exercise yourself in obedience. And you can't obey something you haven't heard. So we want to pray that we have ears to hear. so that we then can obey that which we have heard. And I'm reminded frequently and have even prayed it, but when you read about Samuel, it says that he didn't drop any of the Lord's words. Think of how many words we have dropped that have been spoken by God through his word and through his ministers.
We were sitting saying that's something, you know, I hate to think about how much we have lost there,
yeah,
that we've dropped.
And to think that he didn't drop any of them means that we don't have to either. And it's not a thing to condemn ourselves about, but if we make excuses and think things that are contrary to that truth, we're never going to get to that truth. And that scripture, Karen, did you read the 1 John 4:18? You didn't. Oh, did you? 1 John 4:18?
I think I read it before Bible study.
Okay. Do you want to read that one?
Sure. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
So right there we see a high calling that every one of us should be warring to see accomplished in us. We can be made perfect in love. He is love. And as we draw nigh unto him and avail ourselves unto him and cleave unto him in his word and choose it above our own feelings, our own thinking, our own deceitfulness that we don't even yet know we've believed. But as things are revealed to us, we have got to choose to put them off and adhere to the Lord. And if we will exercise ourselves in that by faith, because we believe him, because we know he's worthy of that trust, we will come to that place where fear is cast out.
And it says that fear hath torment. That does not sound like a nice place that I want to be in.
Yeah.
It sounds really nasty. Mm. And I want to be, you know, where it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. He and that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Meaning we can be.
Exactly. We can be, and that's what we have to strive to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is in that place that we are then become true ministers of his gospel. And, you know, some of the scriptures are like, let me find one for you to read. And I apologize for the dead air.
I'll jump in while you're doing what you're doing.
Yes, please do.
But when it says that you'll have torment, let me see where I find it here. Because fear has torment. I remember when I was controlled by fear. And I didn't sleep. I was afraid of everything. And, I mean, it was torment. I look back on it now, and I don't know. I don't really know how I was able to continue on because of all those fears. And when the Lord delivered me from that fear, and there's a whole story with it, and one day maybe I'll share it if we have an opportunity. But I felt this peace that I hadn't felt in a long time. And so when it talks about that, definitely, if you're controlled by fear, you are in torment, but you don't have to be.
And you know, Anne, one of the beautiful things is you spent time in that fear, as have I, and not in that fear, but, you know, I mean fear. But you see the enormity of God's mercy and grace, because, you know, at the time you didn't see your way out of it. You didn't even see that you had a way out of it, really, I would think. You didn't know the way out of it. And yet,
I didn't, you know, I did not even realize I could be without it.
Yeah.
I didn't know a way out of it, not till I came to the Lord. And I was in the Lord for probably a few months before I realized I did not have to have that fear.
Yeah.
And I found for myself, I got angry at it. And I actually yelled and rebuked it and told it to get out of my life. I didn't need it. I had Jesus Christ. And it left.
Amen. And sometimes you do have to get violent with garbage.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
If you will, it'll go. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Starts out with humble yourself before the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
And it is in that the scripture was Psalm 40:17. Karen. Are you muted?
Yeah, I apologize. I was muted. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God.
You know, I am poor and needy. Truth is, we are poor and needy. Not poor financially, but we are in need of the Lord. And he is there and available. And that poor and needy really speaks to that place of humbleness. We are poor and needy. That's why he died on a cross, and that's why he sent the Comforter. And that's why he gives us his word, and that's why he gives us people to minister to us, and that's why his provision is so thorough and complete for us. So the fact that we need it all is just the truth. We need it. We need one another. We need those in authority over us. We need his word. We need to hear it. We need to do it. We need his help. We need his forgiveness. We need his compassion. But it's all right there for us. I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. That's as big a truth as I am poor and needy. He's there. That's why when he says, cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you, I careth for you. He does. But he can't care for us if we're not going to give him those cares to carry for us and take care of. And to believe him, that's the part we do. Then we walk by faith knowing the truth. I was thinking of Hannah recently, because we all know that she heard the word of God at the mouth of Eli, and she had prayed for a son and promised that she would. She said, "You know, if you give me a son, I will give him back. I will give him back to you all the days of his life. I'll lend him to you." I think is the word she used, but go and check me out. And when he said to her, "Will the Lord grant your request?" she believed him. And the thing that I realized this week is when she prayed, she actually believed God heard her in the first place. So when the answer came, she was able to receive God's answer. And I know back on the self-esteem versus confidence sermon, Davey said, you know, when you pray sometimes and it's like you got a brass ceiling over your head, that's praying in your flesh. But when you pray in the Spirit, and you pray those things that God wants to hear and will answer, you actually get up with a confidence and you look for that answer. And I'll tell you, it was funny this week as my brakes, I thought I had a problem with my brakes, and it was yesterday, and I had all these appointments I had lined up. And the last thing I wanted to do was have a car problem. I'll just tell you, I didn't even want to be responsible to this car problem. But I decided I needed to be anyway. So I actually lifted it up to the Lord. And when I got up, I knew I had to get ready right then because he had an answer. And he did. And my day went wonderfully. But I knew. And I went in and got myself ready to go because I knew that he was going to work a work for me. And he did. And it made me think of Hannah. We have to come to that place. We have to hear what has been spoken. We have to believe it. And then do what it takes to actually have it become our life. Believe God. Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of their faces. Like he said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. What does he say there? Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Is not that a promise that he has made to all who will believe and do what he has commanded?
Amen. And that's in Joshua 1:9.
Thank you. If you're at a place where you really don't yet have faith in the faithfulness of God, ask him for it. If you don't have the strength or even the will to want to overcome fears and to learn his way in its place, ask him for that. He says he will give you both the will and the way to do of his good pleasure. And are not his commandments his good pleasure? And that's what we're seeking to do, is learn to come into alignment with what he said, not how we feel. And in that process, we find out how wrong we have been and still are in many ways. But he shows us these things so we can be changed. But we can't be changed if we don't believe him and do as he has commanded. If we will, he is there to accomplish it in and through us. So, Karen, would you like to read Isaiah 35, 3 and 4?
Yes. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you.
Are we willing to believe that? And are we willing to exhort one another? Because each of us sometimes needs the exhortation to be strong, to strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees.
And God is faithful to his word. And he says he will come and save you. He's faithful to do that. His word is truth, and he is faithful to it.
We all start out not strong in trusting God. And the only way to become strong in trusting God is by choosing to trust him every day. in every situation. And every time you find you've fallen short is a new time to start again to learn to trust God and His Word. And like you said, Karen, His faithfulness. We got stuff to learn, so let's not belabor the fact that we have it. Let's just learn it. You know what I mean?
You know, fear is one of those things that we all run into. It comes at us in different ways and what have you. It is a natural thing, if you will. It comes, I mean, it's not natural in because it's a spirit, but it's natural in the sense that it comes at us, different times, different places and what have you. And as has already been said, you know, when you recognize it, set yourself to put it off. Job said, you know, everyone has at least some inkling of the story of Job, a righteous man who the Lord was pleased with, but he allowed Satan to tempt him, if you will, because Satan thought he would basically deny the Lord, which he didn't. But Job in chapter 3, verse 25, said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." In other words, if he hadn't had fear, allowed that a place in his life, the devil would not have had an open door to be able to come and wreak the havoc that he did. But fear is, I mean, it's a spirit of Satan. So when you let that in your house, it's an open door.
And one that you can shut.
Amen.
It takes effort.
Lots.
By your own testimony, God's mercy and grace are there for us. We don't realize how much we benefit and are kept because of that. We don't stand because we're any great thing. We stand because He is so great. And He calls us to a greater acknowledgement of that through our obedience to His Word. And in that, His greatness grows in us, in a sense, and in our testimony and in our walk. I know in John, 1 John, he talks a lot about love. And we know that God is love. And as we cleave unto Him and learn His ways through obedience to His Word, meaning through the doing of it, even though we're pretty piss poor maybe, we will come to walk it. And when we walk it, He is manifested. And I think of how the Lord says, unless you come as one of these little children, and you figure none of us would have ever learned to crawl, let alone walk or talk, if we were hung up about how many times we failed as we tried to crawl and as we tried to walk and as we tried to talk. And as we get older, we get hung up over all of our failures as we make an effort to learn things. And we bring that into our relationship with Christ. And we got to put that off. That's pride and unbelief. Two things that do not dwell in the body of Christ. So we want to let those things go and keep our eyes upon Him. Believe Him. Believe what He says. And sometimes that's going to come through our brethren, from our disciple or whatever, who's going to shine a light on where we're at. Not to condemn us, but to spur us onward. Somebody was trying to talk. Maybe not.
Yeah, not us, not at that point.
Well, one thing we've kind of skimmed over or haven't really touched on is the fear of man, which every one of us falls in. I say, again, confidently. In a variety of things, in little ways, in big ways. Isaiah 41:10. I think, let me see, is that the right one?
Why don't we do Proverbs 29:25 first?
Okay, thank you. Because I don't think that was the right one anyways. I think it was Isaiah 51:7. 29:25?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
The fear
I'm in Psalms. That's why there was no 25. I mean, no 20, verse 29 in Psalm 25. Okay, I apologize.
The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah. It'll catch you. It'll trip you up. It really comes down is who choose this day who you're going to serve. Who do you want to serve?
The thing is, if you want to serve the Lord, then you have to fear Him and Him alone, which is what we're going to talk about next week. But what you fear is your God, and it becomes your idol. If you are afraid of the government, for example, that's your God. And that's not, you know, that's convicts me, I'll tell you that much.
I think we're all convicted in this department. I know my neighbor brought me to pick up my car a week or two ago. And he's a gentleman that has rejected the Word of God. He's a churchgoer. And he's a nice guy in the sense that, I mean, he's personable and nice. I mean, in the sense of the worldly kind of sense. He's not offensive or anything. But it was interesting because I was sitting in his truck. And he's a person that I wish would choose the Lord. And he made a comment to me where he did not want to talk about something because he was in disagreement with me, wrongly in disagreement with me. And I remember making the choice not to be moved by that. Now, we didn't necessarily talk about whatever that was directly, but I wasn't going to be stopped in whatever I ought to say because of him. That's, you know, how I have to live my everyday, where my eye is upon the Lord, not them, and how easy it is to be moved by another instead of the Lord. And it's one of those areas, talk about being watchful, that we naturally forget to even be watchful about as we walk through our day. We lack attentiveness and watchfulness. One of the things at the convention this past year was exercising our spiritual senses. And yet, how often do we exercise our spiritual senses? But if we will, then we're going to have wisdom. We're going to grow in wisdom to see what's happening, and we're going to know what to do instead of being moved by it because we don't even know what's happening. We will be able to learn to stand, notwithstanding. And in that, we have to overcome our fear of whatever's going on in the other. Good or bad, doesn't matter. We're not their servants, we're God's servants. And this is how we learn to serve him. You want to serve him? Well, you got to fight the battle. And I have to fight the battle to do his will, not my own, to believe his way, not my own, to choose him, not myself. It's unnatural, and it's a choice that you have to make. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's a choice you and I personally make. Isaiah 51:7. Karen, you're on mute again.
Okay, all set. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings.
Yeah. I think every one of us can admit that we, to this day, can still be moved and are frequently still moved by the revilings of others. I don't know how it looks in your life, but it's something we can set ourselves against.
Here's something, Robin, that is natural. That is natural. We all, when someone comes against us like that, it does affect us. It upsets us. Sometimes it makes us angry. Sometimes it just knocks the wind out of our sails. But we don't have to have that. And so, you know, it happens to you. Don't beat yourself up. Realize it's flesh. It's your flesh. And we don't have to accept the revilings of someone else.
And we don't have to accept condemnation for having accepted it. That's the thing we got to realize. The only way to learn to walk in him is by picking up and pressing on to do so again.
Amen.
And it's an incredibly important point because, as you say, Anne, it is all the things God calls us out of are things that are natural to us to be in the first place. And the only way to get out of them is by the continued exercise to get out of them, to get in out of agreement with them, and to learn his way in their place, which is an act of faith and a choice that you make by faith. And it's something you do by faith, because that dwells in God. It's not something you can do yourself. That, and if you do, where is God in that? You know, it's
We have to get over ourselves in thinking that we can do anything.
Yeah.
That's a big step.
Yeah. It's one we confront on and off all the time, isn't it? Or all the time, really.
Oh, yes. Kind of. The flip is always right there.
Yeah.
And we just need to choose to not agree with it. And it's always trying to convince us otherwise.
Yep. Sometimes it's hard to see you can get out of agreement with it, with yourself. But this is why you have people that exhort you in unto love and good works, and why we all need that exhortation. And that's why fellowship is so important, because there's a rest oftentimes in fellowship in the Lord. Sometimes fellowship brings rebuke, but there's also, it is a right thing, fellowship in the Lord, that builds us up. And these are things we have to actively do, that we might be built up in him. And it starts with you need to know his word. How can you say you believe God if you don't even know God, don't even know what he said? How can you, I mean, the thing that Abraham did is he actually believed what God said. And there was a heck of a lot in his life that would have suggested that it couldn't be true. If you really look at his walk and the time span it took. And yet throughout that, he held on and chose to believe God. And in the end, you know, his love was perfected. And you see that. Not his flesh, but his faith and his love and his actions that were born of that. And yet there was nothing in his life in the natural that would suggest that he was right to believe God when God first spoke to him. It's a choice we make. It's a choice he made. And that's what we got to realize. It's not a feeling. It's a conscious choice that we have to make all the time. And we will get stronger in it if we will do so. How about Isaiah 41:10?
Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen. Thank you.
I mean, that's a scripture to take and believe if you want to walk in the Lord. Isn't it? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's something to say to yourself. God is with me. I don't have anything to fear. Don't be dismayed. Obviously, there's things that are dismaying in life. Or I'm dismaying if I want to look at me, you know? For I am thy God. Is he your God? I mean, that's a choice you make. As opposed to like what you've been saying, Karen, you know, whatever you fear is your God. This is where we choose against things and choose him in its place.
Amen. And another thing is, I will strengthen thee. You know, we have no strength, but to realize that he has and will strengthen us in all things, we just have to ask him. He will strengthen us. And he does. He is faithful to do that.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, with me, that's a thing with me that it's been a thing that I'm learning. Is that he is my strength. And it's pretty darn awesome.
And you learn it by actually choosing to believe it and going forth because of that, right?
Amen.
You know, if you look at that verse.
Go ahead.
He asks us to put off these rubbish things, fear and dismay. Put those off, you know. Don't receive them, because these are the good things I'll give you in their place. I'm your God. I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. How does fear and dismay compare with those things? You know?
Who want that?
And how can they dwell with those things?
Well, that they can't.
I mean, who wouldn't want all those good things?
Unfortunately, we forget those things are available to
us. Yes, yeah.
We get so involved in everything else, and we forget what the Lord has for us just for the asking.
True.
It is why prayer is so important, because it is where you start and remember and choose. Every day. You know, you make that confession. You come before him and you seek him for all that you need in a day, which are all these things that he says he'll give us. But to recognize you need them is just a truth. And recognizing that he's there to supply them is the one he's calling us to believe and to walk in and to know.
And like you said before, Robin, he wants to give us all these good things.
Yeah.
That is his desire.
You know, Karen, read Luke 12:32 because it's a sweet verse that says what you're speaking of.
Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen.
It is his good pleasure. Let's take it. But it takes us exercising ourselves and warring the good warfare. It's there for the taking. And it's his good pleasure if we would. It's like the when Davey talks about Ricky, and if he walked in the door with a candy bar hanging out of his pocket, and if Ricky went and his, oh, I know I don't deserve it, and I'm so unworthy, but could I just touch the wrapper? He'd want to backhand him. But if Ricky, no matter how he'd been that day, which he was a child, so he would have been a jerk half of it or more, because he was of an age where that's what he would have been, he would rather him come up boldly and ask his father, who he knew who loved him, if he could have the dang thing. That would bless the father. Not being all hung up about the fact that you don't deserve it. Absolutely every good thing of the Lord we don't deserve, never will. In a natural sense, but that's all there for us because he's made that way. So, let us receive it. Let us be willing to receive the good things of God and to put off the things that interfere.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I guess, Robin, next week we're going to be studying, looking at the fear of the Lord. So I hope everybody out there will join us next week to partake of that Bible study.
That's the other side of it, right?
That's right.
So, well, avail yourself of all that you need to fight the warfare, guys. There's a body of believers, and there's the Word of God, and there's plenty out there to be strengthened by. So may the Lord bless you and give you ears to hear and hearts to obey. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
May God bless you all.